These six individuals have made a choice to work, a choice to sacrifice, put themselves on the line, represent you, this high school. This is your team.
Hoosiers. They needed a second chance to finish first.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the championship game.
You're not the new coach.
Are you expecting somebody different?
Younger.
Most incredible and improbable confrontation.
Well, those of you who don't know, my name is Norman Dale. I coached college ball for 10 years, but it's been 12 years since I've blown this.
In the illustrious history of the Indiana High School basketball tournament.
That's a hell of a team you had there.
You knew that team?
I know everything there is to know about the greatest game ever invented.
With a pint size hardly big enough for three syllables, Hickory Huskers, enrollment 64.
Out of here, right now.
You kicking me out?
Yes, don't come back until you learn to keep your mouth shut and listen.
Take on the defending state champions, the Mighty Bears of South Bend Central.
Run you off the boards.
You got to squeeze them back in the paint. Make them chuck it from the cheap seats.
Already calling this the game of the century.
I've seen them, the real sad ones. They sit around the rest of their lives talking about the glory days.
Those people from all over the Middle West are here to witness Hoosierland's version of the Cinderella story.
It's got to work out this time. Now that's it for good.
The starting lineup for the Huskers.
Well, my boys only know basketball, farming, and school.
A basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
You know, most people would kill be treated like a god just for a few moments. Forget about the crowds, the size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you here. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're gonna be winners.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here. I love you guys.
Team!
Gene Hackman, Barbara Hershey, Dennis Hopper. Hoosiers. They needed a second chance to finish first.
Welcome back to Matinee. Wait, no, not Matinee Baseball. This is Back to the Movies. I am Ted Flint, Jake Voss, and Sean Chantez Festerman are here. We are part of Tailgate Society on your podcast network. Check Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, Amazon, not Stitcher. Stitcher's dead. Honestly, we might only be on iTunes and Spotify. I'm not sure exactly. Just find us, download us, talk to us. I think last time we asked people to like comment, they were listening, and we didn't have anyone comment they were listening. So that kind of hurt my soul a little bit. It's fine. We are here to discuss 1986 Hoosiers. This is Back to the Movies. Like I said, we is a podcast in which we discuss a movie that which one of us has never seen or we haven't seen in a hot minute. I definitely have not seen Hoosiers in 20 years, probably, if ever, straight to finish. I'm excited to talk about, like I said, if you've never seen it, we always spoil the movie in 90 seconds or less. And normally I do that by spinning the wheel. But I did not do a wheel this night. I have spent the last 2 weeks, because we are a podcast that obviously thinks ahead, and I have built... I'm gonna turn the camera around so the boys can see it as I turn it. Hang on. Drum roll. A popping shot. You see there's three hoops up there? I mean, you can't see them. One says Voss, one says Tez, one says me. I'm gonna attempt to shoot a basketball into this hoop contraption. Whenever the ball goes into whichever hoop it hits, that person goes. I think I can do this on one shot.
I feel like it should be more like Plinko than like a pop shot. I mean, no, pop shot fits, obviously, but
all right,
it's not random. You're going to try and make one of them.
Well, now I'm going to shoot for yours.
Okay.
So, obviously, I'm a basketball player. Wasn't a varsity wrestler. Actually, that's wrong. That's backwards. I was a varsity wrestler. So, here we go. My little ball. Just cracked my shoulders. I don't know if that came across on the mic, but they just cracked like a motherfucker. And Kobe. First time! Fuck yeah! And it's Tez! Look at Jake thinking it's going to be him.
Oh, boy.
Tez, I'm a little worried about this one being you that famously hate Rudy. Indiana. Like, I can't remember if you liked Breaking Away, but I feel like you hate everything that comes to the state of Indiana for some reason, except... No.
I'm sure Indiana has some redeeming qualities. I'm not sure this is one of them, but yeah, we could dive into it.
All right. So in 90 seconds or less, Sean, spoil the shit out of 1986 Hoosiers.
All right. So we've got Norman Dale rolling into Hickory, Indiana, a town of, I don't know, I think they say a number, but it's what, like 400 people?
It's whatever. Based off a town of like 350 people.
Which makes no sense because they said there's 64 men, 64 boys in that school. So do the math on that.
In that high school. Yeah, it's not great. And they have seven guys on the basketball team. And, but beyond that, so he's rolling into town. In some way, I'm not sure we ever get a real explanation here outside of he used to
coach he knows the principal. With
the old principal. Yeah.
He said 31. Years, 20 he said years 31. Ago. He said 31. So I got the impression they were just friends in college or some shit.
So anyway, he's rolling into town. The principals gave him a job as the head basketball coach and also what comes along with the job, the history and civics teacher, I think they say. Not important.
I'm from a small town. That tracks.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But anyway, he makes a comment about if this doesn't work, it's his last chance. We really don't get much more about that other than some sort of backstory. So I don't know why it's the last chance, but apparently it is. He's there to coach this team and make them competitive. And they just really haven't been. They've been mediocre, which makes sense because they have 6.5 guys on the roster. 7.5 if you count the 40-year great Indiana basketball player Jimmy Chitwood, who was close with the last coach, who the only exposition we get about him is he just died. But he was kind of Jimmy's father figure. So the coach died. Jimmy doesn't play basketball anymore.
Also dead. Jimmy has also the real dead dad.
Yeah.
So double dead dad.
Yeah. His mom's sick. His neighbor's taking care of him, who is a teacher who is like hiding the feelings that she really has a crush on Norman Dale, but she's just not going to admit it. We get to where they're just Norman Dale's really running them hard. He's trying to build a good program, just make these kids get in shape, win basketball games, play basketball fundamentals. The town fights back because they don't like change. Yeah, and then they get a petition to vote him out as coach, but Jimmy says, I'll play basketball, but I'm only going to play for him. We really don't get a conversation about why that is, and then they do a bunch of basketball montages where Jimmy's really only sort of involved, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
We're going to get into that, yeah.
And then they win state.
You left out the drunk assistant coach.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a guy named Shooter that just drinks shooters. And he, the parent of one of the kids. And it sort of makes sense, but it also doesn't. I don't know. Norman Dale's supposed to be an angel. He's just not. I don't get the movie, man. I really don't get the movie.
He might, like, we're going to take some heat for this, but, like, we're going to get into it later. But, like, Norman Dale's up there with Denzel and Remember the Titans of, like, are they a good coach or are they just an asshole?
Like, I get what he's trying to do.
And I just upset Jake with that.
No, you didn't upset me. It's the problem, quote unquote, with kind of what you're talking about with this movie is it's 35 years old.
Yes, I do understand. Years old,
whatever. Like it's like Bobby Knight, like old school asshole coach. Yeah. Sorry. Did I not say that?
You said 35, 39, coming up on 40.
39, almost 40. But that's the disconnect you have to recognize or accept or something is, like, coaches in general are very different.
Well, this is during Bobby Knight's heyday. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, this is like Bobby Knight's style. Yeah. Like, this is what coaches this is what successful coaches were, is they were assholes that busted your ass and they didn't care about your feelings. And you had to just basically deal with a military style. Like,
this is why system. Dan Hurley acts the way Dan Hurley does.
I'll endure during this movie. And I was just like, I bet boomers fucking ate this movie up. Like, it's just like, and they probably still do, you know, damn kids and their NIL.
And so it is, like, I did even have in the notes, because at some point they make like a almost
to be clear, I enjoyed this movie. Put it on the Bobby make sure Knight. On the record, I enjoyed the movie, but I'm gonna shit on it.
I understand. I do get, like you were saying, Jake, it's from a completely different era, and it is from a time that not even just basketball movies, but sports movies in general were pretty few and far between. And
especially what I would call good ones, but anyway.
Right. And you can see the parts that movies down the line take from Hoosiers and why Hoosiers is an influential movie and an important movie.
I also think we have to realize, as fans of the team that we are, basketball team that we are, that while I don't think our head basketball coach is a complete asshole and has somebody that's going to punch a player, we also have to recognize that he probably runs a system that's a lot closer to this than we think it is being.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
So that's why, like, there's definitely things you have to pull out of it and be like, that's excessive. But also, there are coaches that are successful and have good relationships with players and also run practices super strict and super hard.
Oh, I mean, 100. I mean, I had coaches that whether it was football or basketball when I was in high school, I mean, granted, that alone was,
oh, you're gonna hurt your 16 feelings.
17 18 years
you're ago. Gonna hurt your own feelings.
But even like I had coaches then that, yeah, we ran suicides, we ran a, hey, when you're in the four walls of this gym, you're mine, you don't talk back, this is, and I still see those guys, and I say hi to them. I like those guys. I wouldn't say friends anymore, but we're still friendly, and it's right. This far down the road, I appreciate what they did. I mean, they ran my ass till I was throwing up, sort of shit.
Right.
And
like I said,
so like I'm not saying the coaching styles and everything is not where my issues come within the movie. It's just.
All right, let's get to the biggest issue.
There's just some ways the information is kind of delivered and comes across that is
right. That's the thing that's different.
Is where, yeah, it's. I'm sure right. The four people that listen to Shawshank are pissed at me about the last episode. So,
we're not going to get into the fact that you thought Andy Dufresne killed his wife.
Allegedly.
Anyways, the thing that, like, I'm going to talk about something that's very, to me, like, psychotic behavior about this movie. It's the most, like, psychotic thing I've seen in a movie in a while. And I know it's going to upset people. They're going to hate this take. And I'm sure that they're going to be like, what the hell is Ted thinking? I'm only half joking. This movie starts with that man drinking an open cup of coffee while driving down the road in a car that has no goddamn cup holder.
That is something I did not notice. That is a great take, though.
One of my good friends, Mr. Smith, I've seen that man drink a cup of coffee out of a mug, drive down the highway. And I called him out on being that psychotic behavior, but that man has a fucking cup of coffee, no lid, just driving a 1940s Studebaker, what the hell that is. I don't think there are cup holders in that car.
No.
Like, do you think he drank it till he just one gulped it? Like, guys, I have questions. I mean, it's a thermos. Whatever it is, it's an open cup of coffee. Psychic behavior. Could you guys drink a cup of coffee, like a mug of coffee down the highway?
No, absolutely not.
I have. Like, there are times that I drink, like, I'm on my way to work and, like, open my thermos up so that it'll cool off some and have drank out of it. But
not, like, walking out of your kitchen with a mug, a ceramic mug.
And No. So not like this. I'm saying there are times that I've done something like that, but I'm not driving down a 1952 lane highway the full ass open cup of coffee.
Those cars don't
right
have cruise
before
control.
We started here, Jake, you had stepped out for a second. Me and Ted briefly touched on this, so I did have to look at something. This takes place in 51 52, mm-hmm. at least the first scene. The first known car cup holders were in Dodge Caravans in 1983. So there are no cup holders in this thing. Not, they're 30 years away from cup holders.
83.
But I told Ted I also had a couple notes from that opening scene with him driving into town.
I want to hear about this.
My first one is, we need to bring back steering wheel knobs.
Oh, yes! speed knob. Yeah,
because they're just a delightful thing to have on a.
I don't know if this is true, but I was told at some point that it's illegal to actually have one of those. I don't think that's true, but I don't disagree with your take.
It might be illegal to have like an aftermarket like stuck on one. If I maybe had to guess, something that would fall off and not built in, but I don't know. That's just guessing. My other note from this is, because I have seen the movie and we'll dive into obviously all of that background and I know how it ends. from what I could tell, and I think I went back and rewatched it once, and there just isn't context and it doesn't really ever come back to it necessarily, is that he stopped at a four-way stop out in the middle of nowhere by the church. And he's out of his car and he does some shit and he gets back into his car. And I think he made a deal with the devil there.
Crossroads demon. Hell yeah.
Yep. Yep. And that's why they won state.
Also, a good thing about
spoiler alert
was the end of Castaway when Tom Hanks is at a crossroads.
I didn't really notice that or think about it, but I love that. Yep. He made a deal with a crossroads demon.
Yep.
All right. We're going to discuss, like I said,
that's some supernatural shit. Well, at least for me, that's where it comes from. But anyway,
yeah, 100%.
So let's talk about like everyone's. I mean, obviously, I was the only one alive when this movie got made. I don't really have a good first memory of it. I just always remember it being there. But I know I've watched it start to finish at some point in my past. But man, I don't remember when. Like tonight was like the first time I've actually sat down and was like, gonna watch this fucking movie. And honestly, I have thoughts. About you guys, like, it's just always been there.
It's always been present. I think, like, when you think of basketball movies, and even anymore, I guess in general, like in the internet era of stuff, when people talk about the greatest sports movies of all time, this movie's usually brought up.
Is it just somebody. Because there's no good basketball movies? Like, I think this might be the best basketball movie just by default. And leave your Coach Carter.
Yeah, so. I think that's where it's. I think there's better basketball movies. I think there's, and that's where
Six Man,
kind of what we were talking about. I think it's just because it was the original, and it was like I said, you can see the parts that it inspired. You know, it laid the groundwork for the way you do.
When did Karate Kid come out?
Sports movies and basketball
Rocky,
movies going forward.
Was Karate Kid before or after this? Like, he keeps saying, I want to check. Like, I think he's right. But, like, there's Rocky. And then, like, what else was in the 80s for sports movies?
Like 84 was Karate Kid.
So, 84, Karate Kid, this, and Hoosiers. But, like, before that, like, what else is there? Really? I mean, Breaking Away, I don't think counts. That's a 70s movie.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, you're right. Like, there wasn't before this. Like, I can't even any sports movies.
Baseball.
Bull Durham's after
Bull
this.
Durham. Right. But I don't know that
there's sure Jake's a ton looking it up, of. Like, Vision Quest had to be after this, right?
Vision Quest was 85.
I mean, they're all getting filmed around the same time, though.
Man, so. Do you want to count Over the Top?
We should have did that for Matinee Baseball. But speaking of that, like, it is amazing that we did 5 years of Matinee Baseball, which is a sports podcast about movies, and we never did this movie.
Yeah, I always think we did this movie, and so to, like, go to my first memory or whatever you want to talk about it, at some point this movie came up and I watched it after COVID or, like, during COVID shutdown at some point in the last 5 years, I think. Because I always think when you bring this movie up that we did podcasts for this movie, but we never did. I think it just, like, was brought up as a thing. And I was like, that's one that gets brought up all the time. I've always heard about, and I never watched it. So
So is this your first time? Oh, you know, you said watch during
COVID. No, this is a second time. Probably in the last, probably four or five-ish years ago, I watched it for the first time and then watched it again today.
Yeah, I probably actually watched it for the first time when I was probably in high school. Part of that was, you know, on our basketball teams and our football teams, we would do a lot of, you know, day before movie stuff after practice just to give you inspiration. So I'm sure we watched this movie. And we were just shitty at all sports anyway, so I'm going to assume this one didn't fire us up, because we'll get into that speech in a little bit. But yeah, I think it was definitely always in my brain, but I just don't think I ever really, like, I've probably seen it through two or three times before today.
So the OG Longest Yard was in 74. That's probably the most famous, like, earliest one. As far as, like, I'm just looking at football, because, like, that's probably going to be the easiest. Dallas 40 was 79.
Bad News Bears is 70. But, like, but by modern sports movies, like Karate Kid, this, and the other movie we talked about.
Probably. I was just, I knew that there were at least some, and that's not going to be all of them, but. There's going to be some that are earlier, but yeah, I mean, these are probably, you're probably on a pretty decent thought there to say that it's kind of the start of
The love sports movies happening is in a couple of Insidious movies. Huh?
Yeah. So since you brought that up, how old was, did either of you look at ages for them?
Oh no,
I did not. No.
How old do you think Hackman was in this movie?
Well, I can tell you that he died. He was 96. So let's do the math here.
Well, that's not the point. I wanted you to guess, asshole.
He's forever 40. Man's 40. He was 40 for five decades.
He was 46. If I did the math right when I looked earlier.
Yeah, that tracks.
And he was 56. Holy smokes! That makes way more sense. Okay. That makes me feel better.
Well, how old is the teacher?
It makes me feel better about how he looks versus his age. Does not make me feel better about
how old is the
her age versus his age. So let me double check to make sure I didn't mess this one up too.
Oh no. Age is just a number.
Well,
that line.
I mean, yeah, I didn't mess this one up. So she was 38.
So 28 years old. 28, am I doing the math right? No. 18 years. 18. Difference.
Yeah, 18 year difference.
Okay.
Well, what? I mean, that makes more sense. Like, she won. I mean, for 38 in the movie, she looks really good. I did not guess that she was actually.
Respectfully.
Yeah, like, I figured she was not 38, but.
Let's discuss this love story. Before we get back to our questions, does this movie need that fucking love story?
No, it's so fucking stupid.
No, it doesn't advance anything. It's not.
You can have it just be like a personal relationship and like starting to like trust him instead of apparently hate him or something.
Like in
Hardball. It doesn't need to be a romantic relationship.
They don't kiss in Hardball, right? He doesn't get a kiss here. Like, they don't end up together. Like, they're just friends. Why? Because he's a drunk alcoholic gambler. But anyways, so I made sure to check this comment, and I ran it by the girlfriend. So he says, quote, "Since the first time I saw you, I've imagined kissing you.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go any longer about making it real." Or something like that.
That's first part for sure is a direct quote. I remember that part.
That is... Does that work on anyone? And like, and to be frank, not making fun of anyone's mental illness. Her trauma is, my brother was a good basketball player and no one cared about me. So
I was never, I was never good enough.
So I hate basketball.
Yeah.
Which means, sure. You don't get him. And her parents seem pretty nice. Helping those corn stalks, which I was confused what the fuck they were doing there, but I'm not a farmer. So Does anyone know what they're doing there? We'll come back to that.
No, I don't have an answer. I was also confused.
I don't 100% know. I know that they're more or less like squeezing juice out of them, like they're processing them.
Is that corn syrup oil? Is that where that comes from?
I don't actually know. That's a very old school thing that I don't know if anybody actually does by hand anymore. It's like
it was a horse.
Well, yeah, the horse is turning the press or whatever. I don't actually know. I know that like they're probably using the crushed stalks as like silage, like you bag it or whatever for feed.
Great trash.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. We can move on from that. I don't.
Well, let's discuss romantic real quick while I'm Googling this. Hoosiers, corn.
What do we need to?
I mean,
what do we need to like?
If you want to dive into the biggest, not quite agricultural question, but maybe just plant question of the whole movie.
Oh, someone
not to go back to the opening scene, but there's the lady when he's driving into town that is on a windy day.
No!
Raking leaves.
Stop it! Damn it! No!
The smallest.
Fuck you! Son of a bitch! That was the first note I made, and that was going to be my number one, last thing to say on the podcast. Is there's a fucking lady just raking leaves into a pile on the side of the road.
They're
burning
blowing
them
everywhere. And she has the tiniest fire that she's almost standing in.
Yeah, it's... That is something Makes Sense was probably a thing 70 years ago, but... Yeah, I saw that and I was like, fuck these leaves. I guess we're just burning them right here. I don't know.
Usually you make the pile before you burn all of the leaves.
Well, usually now you like put them in a barrel or like you're not even in town and you burn. I don't know. Like that. I mean, there are people that do it in town if you can, but yeah, usually it's like a burn barrel or something, not just on the side of the road in a pile, just raking them up together.
Just hoping to keep it contained.
Okay. Are you guys done ranting about piles of leaves burning yet? Can I dive back into this?
I want to hear the explanation you just read.
Coaching, yeah.
It's not fucking corn. It's something salt called sorghum.
Oh, sorghum. Okay.
And they're making a honey-like syrup out of it.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
And so it's not corn.
Anyway, go ahead.
What the fuck is that plant? What the fuck is that?
Obviously something that looks pretty similar. It's a stalky plant that looks...
It looks just like
similar
it.
To corn stalk.
And it's like honey they put on bread and shit, so they're like releasing it. Is that a fucking money-making cross? Maybe that's why they're stuck in that shitty little town. May grow corn.
Yeah, if you look at it, people. It looks like the plant itself looks like wheat or corn.
All right, let's get back on our questions. Also, it's okay to burn.
It's weird. It looks like when it's
however you want.
It's brown, and she talks about how when it's growing, it looks like green as Ireland, which is apparently bullshit.
So anyone in this movie that you did not realize was in this movie? I mean, I feel like there's one that we're all gonna pick, and I'm gonna make Sean upset me for how long it took me to figure out how the fuck I knew the guy from.
Well, I mean, is it, you going to tell me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
It took me at least 10 minutes. I didn't have to look it up. I didn't have to use IMDb, but man, I was like, telling the girlfriend, like, I know that man. Like, that's one of those guys. Like, I know that guy.
Yeah. And immediately I go, oh, that's Eddie Harris.
Yeah.
But also, it's him.
But it
also,
is. There's a handful of, and obviously it's weird because this is 86 and Major League was
90, 89. Oh, yeah. 89. No, that one. Yeah. The first one was, yeah.
But he looks completely different.
I don't know about that. Major League.
he's put on gray hair. He's had a rough 2 or 3 years.
He's much more gray in Major League. But yeah, he's definitely, I mean, definitely the same guy, obviously, but,
I feel like some people might say Dennis Hopper, who
I feel like
shooter, but
I'm worried that not enough people know him anymore.
Like, I mean, I actually recognize the name more than I think I would recognize him from any super like modern shows or movies or anything.
What do you recognize him from? Do you
it
have
took
one?
Me, so
like, I can't even tell you one, to be honest with you. I can look, but
he's the bad guy in Speed. Pop quiz, hotshot.
Well, I would okay, sure. I was thinking something like in the last
even
15 years,
even seeing his name, I would recognize him from. In the
he's also has like one
I
of
saw
the best
his name lighting. In the opening credits, but then it was just like when he's just even in the stands and stuff, or even when he's you know invites the coach up to his little cabin or whatever, it wasn't until like he cleaned up as an assistant coach, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that is Dennis Hopper. Like
he's
looking a little rough around the edges, it was I'm just like, oh, I like looks familiar, but I don't exactly know who that is.
He definitely like disappeared like the last 20 years. He just passed away like probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, so he went from pretty consistent credits, it looks like, through
2010.
08. Did he really?
Yeah. May 29th, 2010.
He has 15 years.
He has credits from later than that. So he must have had like voice lit. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, like he's a very much a niche person. He's in Waterworld. A single tear runs down my cheek. Also, he's from he's an Easy Rider. I think that's probably his biggest movie. Like the people probably like besides Speed, obviously, but Easy Rider is a movie that came out. Fuck, that hurts my soul. 60 years ago, that neither one of you are acting like you've seen, and that hurts me a little bit more.
I've never seen Easy Rider.
It's just him and Peter Fonda as a bunch of hippies just riding their motorcycles across the country, like early '60s. Yeah. Anyways, also Speed. Hot quiz, hot shot. We should do that for this fucking podcast.
Yeah, that's actually, it's really funny that I recognize his name so easily as far as like somebody I should know or would know. But I think
he's also King Koopa from Mario Brothers.
I think Hoosiers and Speed are probably the only two movies I would like actually. I've seen that I would recognize him in probably. I mean, he's got a bunch of other credits, but
you should watch True Romance. It's awesome, but also he has an amazing speech in that that's written by Quentin Tarantino that I can't utter a single word of on this podcast.
All right, noted.
As one of the best like fuck yous in a while. All right, let's talk about this. Some of the basketball scenes in this movie. We can lead into that with. Is there a gif from this movie that you did not realize was from this movie or has a famous gif? I can only think of one, but we can use that to criticize Norman Dale's basketball coaching style.
Is there one of him?
Kind of, but it's like, I don't know how often it's used. It's to me, it's my team is on the floor.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know that it gets used that often. Yeah, that was kind of his like
fuck around, find out moment.
Yeah, it was like, you're not gonna listen to me, so you're not playing. Like,
yeah,
that was kind of one of those steps that wasn't like one of the things that he did that wasn't morally too far, but is like, nobody's ever doing that, right?
No, 1950s. I mean, I guess someone has a god complex.
Sure. That's maybe in the 50s. I don't know. I just like applying it to like even semi-modern like practices. I don't know if anybody's ever doing that. But yeah, I suppose that probably is a gift that you can find and use. I probably have seen used before, probably by you, but
yeah, I had that at least marked down more as it, because I don't know that I've ever seen a gif used from this movie, but I had that marked down as like
best line
of the best quotes. Yeah. It's interesting to get into, like, I guess even leading up to that, when it's just the whole basketball and him taking over, and I, And like we kind of touched on earlier, and it is
four passes.
What he gets into after that first game,
I noticed that championship game that went out the window, though.
Yeah,
just let Jimmy shoot.
It's the whole thing of when what I say is the law sort of thing, and that's why it's day one when he walks into that practice and he gets in to Eddie Harris's
face. Yeah, I don't know that
kicks him out of practice. Kicks him out of practice. Your coaching days are over, and then the one kid's just chit chatting bet in the back. Which again, there's seven of you. It's you think he's not going to see that. Kicks him out of practice. Obviously, drags his friend along. Blah blah blah. I don't know at what point if you want to start the Ollie arc here or if you want to go with it later, but boy, talk about something else that maybe didn't fully need to be in the movie.
It's always good to have a fun underdog. I don't know that they needed to like fully put him back on the manager bench. Like that seemed a little silly to me.
Would you prefer he got the G baby treatment? Like, I mean, at least
where the fuck did that come from?
I don't think anybody's asking for him to be murdered.
I don't think I want him to die. I just think it's silly to like go from, okay, this guy's staying committed to the team and obviously has like heart to be here to like, yeah, you just get to go back to being manager and bench boy now. Like, that seems silly.
And I get it. He out the gate says, we have seven guys on the team. He goes, well, six. I'm just
six and a half.
My specialty is equipment management. I'm too small.
I love how, like, the biggest issue is he's too short. Like, I'm sorry, I'm short.
And then not even that.
He does say I'm short and not very good. Like, he does say I'm short and not very good. Like, literally out of his
own mouth. And they make the point the first game.
The original Rudy.
They show him in the layup line of coming through, and he just throws the ball.
Stuffs it in the bottom of the rim.
Come on, man.
Can't make a fucking layup in a layup line. What are we doing here?
Saves her ass, though.
And by shooting granny shots. I just...
Hey. Don't you shit on the granny shots. I love that.
So here's the thing. I guess to kind of dive into what is the basketball part of this movie is we're talking about the first practice in the first game, and then there's just two 40-minute montages of just basketball. We really don't get any conversation about what's going on. There's a brief intermission where they're trying to kick him out as coach that comes out of nowhere that I guess is just because they're
it's
not
because winning. The principal gets sick and they never come back to find out that principal's still fucking alive. That pissed me off. Can that man not have a radio next to his bed during the championship game? His principal buddy gets to that bed and then it's just like,
so they do show him later, but they don't show him at the final game
at the state championship game.
Oh, do they
say they're like in the montage of him? Well, at least in the montage of like them winning games and him, he's holding up a paper in bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they show him any later in as far as like specifically the championship game.
His buddy, whose name is Cletus.
I think the championship game, I think he's maybe shown
could be
briefly in the stands.
They don't just leave him alone and let him die.
All right. Justice for Cletus. All right, let's talk about this. Like, we're on this basketball thing. This whole movie, I've always been led to believe, is Jimmy Chatwood. Jimmy Chatwood, who's just James Chatwood. That motherfucker, for the first 50 minutes of this movie, is just not there.
It's halfway, literally almost exactly halfway through the movie is when the town hall happens and Jimmy comes in and says, I'm ready to play basketball, but I'm playing for coach. And if he leaves, I'm out too.
And we touch on it, but like, even then it doesn't ever show him like just taking over the games and like just being like the reason.
No, there's a lot of that, the basketball montage that Tez is talking about, that like, there's a basic, like Tez has said, there's basically a long ass montage that's separated by a few things in there And it's just, it's honestly, I think it's like, there's some pretty good basketball stuff in there. There's also a lot of just like cut up shots and whatever, but Jimmy is not like some ultimate player. That's like
everybody else. Yeah.
And mind you, all the players look very similar. So like, it's a little difficult like to like,
yeah, I had to watch numbers. I couldn't watch players, but it was,
yeah,
you get 20 because I think Jimmy wears 12. So you get 25 and 11 and these guys just knocking down shots. And it is, some of it is shot, not the greatest because they're shooting in these tiny gyms within the 80s. So like, I'll forgive you for not having.
And there is some, Michael, there is some small town gym porn in this movie though. There is some small town basketball gym porn in this.
Definitely.
Movie. Like the one where like they get in the fight or like the first fight of many, like, numerous fights in this fucking movie.
Oh my god!
Like,
yeah, this whole team would be just disqualified from playing. That dude
decked another player in the second game, and it doesn't lose any games, doesn't get kicked off the team, doesn't get expelled, and the coach is like,
"Again,
yes." And it's not even the kid, the bad, shitty, drunk dad. It's just some dude with attitude problem.
Well, the first one is. Is that kid the second one in the jungle or whatever they call it? Is
jungle is the first fight?
Is no, it's not. The first time a punch is thrown is when the refereeing is shitty and Gene Hackman is like, "That's bullshit. What are you doing?" And the kid that had been in trouble and sat on the bench goes up and decks the kid that put his finger on his chest.
Yeah, it's called the cage or something. All right, yeah.
But then the next one is when the son of the shooter is like triggered and just Jimmy Chitwood gets pushed on a layup and he just goes up and straight just across the jaw like, fuck you, dude. Nope, that's not happening. And then he gets thrown in the glass case and cuts his shoulder open.
Yeah, then he gets thrown into the trophy case. And this is all
immediately
after Norman Dale gets a technical for running his mouth, and there's just no fouls called on this. There are no rules. Everybody gets a brawl and they just keep playing.
Right.
I'm not saying Reg or whatever his name is, that, what is that guy's fucking name? The player that like shoots the basket at first, gets benched.
Is it Reg? I think it's Raid.
Raid. I believe. Yeah.
I'm just telling you, that man's a fucking future spousal abuse motherfucker. I can just tell already, like, that man has domestic violence in his fucking future. Like, he's hitting kids on the basketball court. Like, he just always looks pissed off. Also, Norman touches at least two opposing players, which pretty sure you can't do either. But, you know, 50s were a wild time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. There's sure. There's again, there's plenty of gray area here because there is. What is it? Is it one of those that it is where he just yells out the, you know, I know a hometown ref when I see one. Like,
yeah.
These aren't wrong accusations and observations, but that is also small town Indiana basketball of why they're, this is what you're dealing with. And
yeah, it's some of that is hard to parse. 'Cause like, I highly doubt that like coaches in the early to mid 50s were like running on the court and like, poking players in the chest or whatever.
That aggressive.
Like seems excessive, but also I wouldn't be surprised that somewhere in between is actually how some of that went down.
So Norman Dale is 50 in this movie, we think, right? We're going with. So that man saw two World Wars.
Well, she called him 50.
So he saw two World Wars. And maybe that man's ready to fucking just toss punches.
Well, he didn't. The first one he wouldn't have been in, the when he was in the Navy for the 10 years would have been during World War II,
yeah,
more or less.
Well, I no, because he would. I guess, yeah, there's maybe a little bit of overlap there.
I mean, just in general, he wouldn't have been in. He wouldn't have been in the Navy for the first one. He probably saw some like was
we are just ruining a podcast about Hoosiers and I'm fucking loving it. All right.
Yeah, because he was in the Navy for 12 years. So he was in the Navy in 41.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before that he was coaching college and apparently just
jacked a kid,
beating the shit out of kids.
Okay.
Allegedly.
I don't know if it was ever stated he beat the shit out of a kid. He did say he punched him across the jaw. So
it was, and I believe she says in from the news article there were other incidents.
Well, there's no video cameras back there. They can't
prove again.
No court's gonna hold up to him. I prefer this, just
this is like allegedly adding a reporter to your war crimes chat. It's allegedly.
Oh, well, we all know. Anyways, all right. Anyways, so the biggest thing I have to complain about this movie, and I'm not trying to complain, is like this movie really missed out on like a standings montage, like showing like they had to be like 0-5 to start the season.
To battle back, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Give me showing me that they're 1-9 and they have to win 7 in a row to make the playoff. Unless,
like, yeah, they should have done that a little like with newspapers or whatever, like most other movies did. I think after this, probably like they showed, Hoosier or
some level 10 game win.
They are struggling headline, struggling 0-5, whatever. Because then he does say later when I think it's probably after Jimmy joined him and they were like, he was like, we're clicking. We got 10 games left. We're going to be hard to beat. So that kind of implies that like they've been 5-5 at this point, and now they're looking to go 15-5, whatever that, you know, however that would actually work out with the number of games they said, because you're going to have to do that to qualify and whatever. And through the quarterfinals and sectionals and blah, 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 blah. But
so we talked about Dennis Hopper. I want to talk about his character though for a minute. Shooter, the drunk, the dad who's a drunk.
Yeah.
Also, I'm saying about this because he offers him a drink and he goes, do you want to snort?
Do you want to snort? What a lie.
I really want to write that down somewhere and just like add that to my repertoire where I'm like,
I don't think you should do that. Culture is in a lot of bars and places I've been in the last 10 years. I don't think you want to walk up to people and say, do you want to snort?
To me, I don't know exactly.
Hang on. Do I need to look that up on Urban Dictionary? Am I being old?
I think he's applying old school verbiage to like modern day, and you probably don't need to ask somebody for a snort today. I think you're going to get a different thing than a pour from a mini bottle.
You're going to get a substance, and it's not going to be whiskey.
Right.
It'll make your gums numb, though.
Yeah. That is a term that I have heard used, and I knew that as like as verbiage for, do you want like a nip or a pull or whatever off the little bottle as a snort.
Yeah, Dad of the Year here a couple years ago. Last winter, my son was sick 2 winters ago, and we didn't have we had cop, and I said, we didn't have a little jar, little cup. And I'm like, oh, just take a couple pulls. He's like, what do you mean, take a couple? I'm like, just take a couple pulls with a bottle.
Yeah,
that would have been a nip or two for me, but I mean, you can anyway,
have a little nip of that Dayquil. It's fine. So, like, Shooter gets multiple chances, multiple fuck ups.
Yeah, he's just like a true alcoholic. Like he has an actual like full on detox when he goes all like stops drinking, and that's the whole thing.
And God love my best girlfriend who's half watching it, she goes, we definitely need more movies about drunk deadasses getting a third chance to come back.
That's underrepresented in the culture, you know.
Yeah, how dare the movie culture underrepresent?
I was so I mad when he
deadbeat drunk ass dads.
You haven't got so mad when he's the way back yet.
Oh my god!
Oh,
yeah. I kind of want to revisit that one to see how bad it cuts. I was so mad when he fell off the wagon the second time. I was like, did we need that? Like, could we just not have a happy like? I get it, but also been nice just to be like he cleaned up for his son.
I thought I remembered that's how that went. And I was kind of surprised that a movie from the mid 80s like really pushed it that hard. Like, no, he's a true alcoholic who is drunk all the time and he cannot stop. Like, he has to be forced to be in a hospital and stop.
It hurt me. It broke my heart. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was kind of in that same boat, I guess, in the whole thing of not seeing in a long time and at least really remembering those details of, like, you have the moments that Norman gets thrown out of the game. And then obviously in the first one, he freezes up, you know, Shooter freezes up as being the assistant, doesn't know what to do, and it's nothing. And then the second time, Norman intentionally gets thrown out of the game.
That's so great. Throw me out. What do you mean? And throw me out.
Does the, hey, you stay here. You got to stay here. And then,
oops, just, I did it again, or whatever he says.
Yeah. And then it is even his son stepping up and just going, hey, Dad, here's where we are. And yeah, you get that little, and just that building up the confidence. He goes, yeah, here's what we're going to do. Blah, blah, blah. They go win the game. And yeah, and that's where I kind of thought, I'm like, oh, cool. Redemption arc. Neat. And then, yeah, they tear that wall down.
Right. I thought that was it. I thought that was it. I like that was like, oh, he coached them win the game and then they're good. And then, like, then it didn't. He got drunk again and fucked up.
He got real drunk.
Really drunk.
Real drunk.
So, but at least he, you know, all right.
The thing is, I think you avoid the technical, though. He didn't need to tell him he was an assistant coach.
Is that why he got tech, or is he got tech for touching him?
No.
No,
it was he said it's okay, he's an assistant coach.
Yeah. Yeah, and he goes, technical foul.
Yep.
Okay. Otherwise, it was just somebody, you know, a random drunk in town came on the court. You don't gotta do that.
How many games does he get thrown out in this movie? Three? At least three.
Yes. I believe it's three. Yeah.
I think that's impressive for a high school coach to get thrown out in three games.
I mean, two were legit, and the third one he asked for. So, I mean,
for a guy who halfway through the season was being voted off the team by his town, it's probably not a great standard to hold. But
yeah, you know, it happens.
I guess in a level, if it is, you're standing up for your guys. You know, how can they be mad?
All right, we're coming up on about an hour here. What is everyone's favorite part of the movie?
So there's a part towards the end, and I don't remember specifically which player he tells him, but he says something about chewing gum, and I want to know what flavor he is, like, because he's so in his ass.
It's the guy keeps praying.
And he fouls out. Yeah, he fouls out and comes and sits on the bench, and Gene Hackman's character looks at him, like, kind of looks at him with a little bit of, like, a, okay. He goes, it was dentine. Like, it was just
Strider,
because that I was up in his ass that hard, coach. I did what you asked.
That's the game before the little dude makes the free throws, because then, like, he has to go make the free throws, and the guy grabs his hand and he's like, God believes in you or some shit, right?
I don't know if that was my favorite part, but it was just like a little, like, connection from one point to another that were, like, real slight little things that I laughed at when I heard him.
That character might be my favorite player on the team, because he's got leaves he leaves with his buddy. His dad brings him back and he's like, he fucked up. And then his dad also, like, is the biggest, you can tell, he's like the biggest farmer in the county. Then he basically, like, tells everyone, like, to get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And somehow that dad becomes an assistant coach. I don't know if you guys caught that.
I did catch that and I was very confused.
Gets on the coaching staff.
Feels like we missed a few steps, but
super, super religious player who then gets in there like, you don't shoot a basket unless you're under the hoop. And then the motherfucker starts making baskets and are like, what?
Just a machine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like God's energy is flowing through me, or whatever he said. It's like,
you know, that motherfucker has some Jared Holman Chatfield, like, just rebounding like motherfucker. Like, that dude's on the floor just to, like, hurt people and get rebounds. Like, and then, you know, he prayed and he got his baskets and he helped the little fucking manager boy make two underhanded free throws. Also, apparently free throws are only one shot. Did you guys catch that? When he gets fouled, he only gets one shot. He has two shots on the shooting foul. But before that, when he misses a free throw, the manager kid
They only show the one. And I did, like, recognize
I watched it. The ref said one shot.
Okay.
So the ref says one shot.
There's no and one.
So.
Which is fair. That's not the only rule thing. Well, I didn't actually look that rule part up, but
no 3-point line, obviously.
Yeah.
Not until we'll touch on this on notes. Go ahead and whatever, Tez, whatever your best part.
Chad filled up the stats.
I was just gonna say I liked it. So some of those little, I guess, kind of connecting moments with Strap of, you've got the first game where he is, you know, they do the prayer and he's just kneeling in the locker room and Gene Hackman's like, Strap, are you coming? And somebody's just like, he'll come when he's ready. And he's like, well, hopefully it's before tip off. and he gets there right before tip off and all he gives the little, thank God. But yeah, even then when he comes back later and he kind of kneels on the sideline and he's like, hey, God wants you on the floor.
Yeah.
And he just gives him the smile and he runs out. It's that, or the only time we actually get to see Jimmy Chitwood actually be an incredible basketball player is when Gene Hackman has that little talk to him about just like, hey, do what you got to do in life. Like, you have an incredible talent and it's only yours. And he's just burying bucket after bucket after bucket.
Uncut shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him. I looked at the trivia for the movie, says that he literally wasn't listening to Hackman at all. He was just concentrating on not missing the shots.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 8 in a row and Hackman's just like rebounding and monologuing to him. And it's like a whole singular shot.
So speaking of that scene, you notice how fucking much zip Gene Hackman has on those chest pass in this fucking movie? That man throws the ball hard.
Yeah, it was part of his thing, was like effort. Like, this is how you pass the ball. Like,
yeah. I don't think I could throw a fucking ball as far as he's fucking throwing those fucking basketballs. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, probably not. It's after 25, I was just a bounce pass constantly.
I mean, it's a lot of zip, but yeah, I think that was kind of part of the,
like, do you think he practiced that before? Like, do you think like he had one of his buddies be like, just like, I like some friend has be like, hey, Fred, we're gonna go to the gym, I'm just gonna throw you 1,000 chest pass. Hope you're ready for this. Just,
or he just like, gave it his all for the however many he was throwing there. He's like, this is what it's gotta be.
We're not fucking around. My favorite part is definitely like when they're like, we're gonna run a decoy for Jimmy, and the players are like, the fuck if we are.
Like, yeah, everybody's just like, I don't know about that. And Jimmy's like, yeah, I can make it. It's fun.
So yeah, it was just got the movie going on in the background here, and it's right before that first game when it's when Strap's still back there praying. Can you imagine running a layup line with 5 dudes? That's just got to be exhausting. You will never stop moving. Nobody gets a break. You're just turning and burning the whole time.
Yeah, there's no taking it easy in a layup line with 5 people running through it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know there'd been a layup line. So, wrestler here. But, like, do we think... Yeah, like we've discussed. I just wish they showed more Jimmy, like showing how good he is. Like, I just wish we got more, like, just like.
Yeah, I think that's probably just the difficulty of like how good and athletic the people were that the actors they had were. Like, I think they did a really good job showing some actual, like, good basketball athletic looking shots.
Yeah. So,
But to me, what that means is that actor that played Jimmy is not actually that dynamic, and so they just couldn't do a bunch of stuff with him.
So in the trivia for this movie, they told him for that last shot, don't worry if you miss it, they're still going to rush the court, we can fix it in post, and then he hits it.
Because right. Apparently he can cut it in not a singular shot or something to make it go in.
Because he'd been missing it in rehearsal. That's some pressure right there, too. Knowing sure, that you gotta make this shot and they're gonna fucking, how many extras are just gonna mob your ass?
Right.
You know, like,
well, I had a note that I think it's the like regional final or it's one of the earlier finals, but it's like the first one they showcase. And they make the shot, but they have like 3 seconds left on the clock. And the heat, like the half court, like heave or a little over half court heave from the guy almost goes in. Like it bounces off the like front right of the rim and up on the top of the backboard and back down. And I was like, man, like, I don't know how much that would have messed up if that shot actually went in, but it was pretty fucking close.
Right. And like, I wouldn't know, like, like when the little dude makes the free throws, like his bounces around too. Like if one of that was just random, like it had to be random, but like it's a nice bit of randomness, you know. But who is like, I said my favorite player. Do you guys have a favorite player? Is it the asshole? Is it Jimmy? Is it little dude? Is it someone else that I'm missing? Drunk guy's son?
I don't know. I think I probably enjoy Raid coming around, like coming around the most, and from being like the mouthy shithead to start with to then just figuring it out and being probably the best player on the team at that point.
I still think that man has a rest record later in life.
I mean,
possibly.
could, or he could just have been a shitty 17-year-old kid. And I mean, there's plenty of those that turn out to be fine. So,
okay. I feel like I'm catching some strays. All right.
I didn't say anything about you.
I know. Did anyone have a goosebumps moment from this movie or something that hasn't aged well? We'll double dip it. Like the double dead dads.
I did have a little bit of a goosebumps moment when they're in the town hall and Myra, the female love interest.
Her name is Myra?
Myra Fleener.
Myra Fleener. Her
parents or Mira. It's M-Y-R-A.
Her parents did not give her any help with that fucking first name back, last name combo.
I feel like that's pretty judgmental, but anyway,
Mira.
I don't
think like Mira's better.
Could be Mira. Anyway, so she, it was after she had talked to Norman about the she had went to the library and found the report of
he him beat punching the shit the kid out of
fucking and, I don't think he
just.
Within an inch of his life, on the floor, just
kicking him in the ribs.
Bodies.
But she got the she got the newspaper report and like basically confronted him about it. But then they're at the town hall and she walks up and she opens the paper up as though she's gonna read it, and then she doesn't. I think that's probably, I don't know that it's necessarily a goosebumps moment, but that was probably as close as it comes for me on. I don't know, just like emotional charge changing moment.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Like it is because she does the whole like gets up there, for, you know, flattens out the sheet of paper, which apparently nobody ever asked her about, but fine, whatever.
I thought that there was a speech on it. I did not realize that was. I'm so. I noticed shit like the scoreboard not being right.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same little paper she had folded up in like a tiny square.
And then she's just gives the. I think coach should stay or whatever her line.
Because she'd give him another chance, basically. Yeah.
It's a turning point, and obviously, I think kind of in that same vein, it sucks because again, it's one of those things that feels like it probably could be a little more emotional and just, I'm still not entirely sure how you get there. But then after that, when Jimmy walks up and he gives the, I'm going to play, but I'm only going to play for him sort of thing.
And the whole, it's so bland. The whole town's like, we only care.
Oh shit. We need to revote. What are we doing?
Yeah. We only care about wins and losses.
Right.
We thought this coach was a shithead. We still think he's a shithead, but Jimmy's going to play for him. So.
And then they do the revote and there's still like six people that are just like, no.
Dude's a bad coach. He beat a child. Anything that like has aged shitty took you out of it. Like I can't really think of anything.
But. No, I mean, there's just like some tonal stuff. I mean, from it being a mid-80s movie about the 50s, like there's stuff that, I don't know, like he immediately walks in the school and she's like questioning him.
She's on his ass.
She is on his ass, but he's also just like, why the fuck? Like, why are you having questions for me? Like, why are you being this way?
Yeah.
And her, like, neither of them are in that situation, neither of them are great, but he's just like not. Oh, he's just like, why the fuck are you questioning
me? I just drove across the state, across the country with no cruise controls. You're going to open coffee cup. How about you give me a second before you get on my ass? Because he pulls up to that school. Like he has
a slap. Yeah.
And kind of in that same vein of like, what is it, the next day or whatever it may be when he's in that, is it the barbershop where he's talking to every
dad in town? That's the classic. That's the classic Friday Night Lights like scene, right? But that's where it came from.
Just a lot of the delivery and stuff is just not.
Like, hey, coach, we're glad you're here, except you're going to do whatever the fuck we want you to do, right?
We're going
to
tell you how to do things. And yeah, and I think it is, I think, I don't remember, I think it's maybe an off-camera voice or something but there is an explicit line, you know, that pops up in the subtitles and stuff, and just, we don't like change. And it's just like, yeah, we get it. That's the entire basis of the movie. Like, I understand.
You know, it's rural Indiana in 1951. We get it.
Right. But yeah, I guess I'm kind of in that same boat of, it's just the way a lot of it is delivered and presented isn't, I mean, it's not captivating. I don't know that it takes me out, because I don't know how much I was ever really in, just because it's not super captivating. Like, unless you're buying in from the get of when it first came out, I'm sure it was, because it is.
I'm gonna say
it is an exciting story, and anymore, like, if you are somebody that's gonna watch it for the first time, you know. I assume you've at least been told about Hoosiers. I don't think you're watching Hoosiers for the first time in 2025 if you haven't heard of Hoosiers.
Did you guys not realize that the basketball team wasn't named Hoosiers? Was I the only one that's that dumb?
It took me a long way into the movie to realize they were the Hickory Huskers.
Yeah. I had to think about it for a decent amount and like look at stuff and figure it out for sure.
I think it took me to damn near the end when I saw the goddamn Huskers logo.
The actual like year. Corn, the corn logo thing.
Which makes less sense that they're not doing anything with corn. It's some fucking plant I've never heard of.
Sorghum.
Yeah. I knew it was Hickory High, but yeah, I just kind of assumed it was Hoosiers.
I was kind of wondering if Hoosiers came from this movie for a while. But all right, I'm a backpack on Tez's here, and then we'll let you guys into the notebooks. I know Coach Carter's really good. We did it on the other podcast. I enjoyed it. I feel like we just haven't had like a fucking superb basketball movie. Like,
what is another
basketball movie that we know?
What is another basketball movie that you would classify anywhere close to good that's come out since Coach Carter?
None. But also, there's not been a bunch of them, man. I guess I'm saying, like Mike apparently is pretty well regarded.
That's just funny.
You know, fucking Norman Dale fucking playing that dog.
Hustle, I thought was pretty good.
Oh, Hustle's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, that's the only one I can think of, and that's pretty modern.
I should show that to my kids.
Yeah, Hustle was good. But that's the only other one I can even think of that I would put in. Like,
but Hustle
recommend to somebody.
Oh, I guess White Man Can't Jump's pretty damn good. First one, not the remake.
Oh yeah, I guess that's after
But like, I just
I don't know. I mean, not that I wouldn't call that movie good, but also
it's an untapped sport.
So
just looking
White Men Can't Jump Space is. Jam. Yeah, but is that good? Like, actually?
High School Musical? No?
No.
Jordan pushed off.
But so White Men Can't Jump is different than just a basketball movie in the same way that Hustle is different than just a basketball movie to me. Like, this movie, like, Hoosiers is a pure, like, coaching. There are some side relationships, but, like, pure coaching. Getting a team to work together, getting a town to come behind you, come together behind you. Basketball movie.
Like, you can make a really fun basketball movie that's like the same as Bad News Bears, but basketball.
Yeah, you can do a lot. I mean, you can do a lot of those things.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where, so just looking quick online, I mean, it's same time frame. Looks like it came out a year after, and I would have to rewatch it because I probably haven't seen it since it came out. But like Glory Road's right there, but that's obviously a true story one, and that's not a...
I think from what I remember, that's enjoyable. I forgot.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good movie. But yeah, beyond that, I don't know that there's...
For some reason in my... I think in my brain, not that those movies blend together, but I think Coach Carter just takes over Glory Road. I don't know exactly how close they even are, but...
Josh Lucas was not near as big a star as I thought it was going to be. He's the guy coaching.
Glory Road, the coach. Yep.
But yeah, like you were saying, Jake, it's... As far as like a pure basketball movie, like I've
not one that there's includes not a wolf.
Oh yeah,
we can break down Michael J. Fox's basketball skills. That'd be fun. No, okay.
It's questionable.
I have.
I will say I know if anybody wants to go back and listen to it, I know I rip it apart, but I didn't hate the new White Men Can't Jump as much as I thought I was going to hate it.
Sure.
It still sucks, but like
it's a low bar.
It's not as bad as I thought.
Right. I think the bar was low for a lot of us going into it. So it was like fine for what it was. That's probably.
So, yeah. And I was going to tell Jake sometimes, so I'm like, well, forbidden, we should just start. It'd be real easy to like toss an old matinee baseball into our feed if we can't podcast.
That's probably true. Fair, like revisited.
Like just like, anyways. Empty the Notebooks. That is a conversation for not on a podcast, and we can discuss how Norman Dale is a bad coach.
Later. I have Butler Fieldhouse trivia.
That was cool, right? Is that the same place they play right now?
So it's Hinkle Fieldhouse, which is where they still play. They played there. It was Butler Fieldhouse from 1928 to 1966. It was the largest gym in the country until 1950. It is the sixth oldest gym still in active use.
I have a question. How do they define that?
I think it's like where a team, like a college team, still plays because Butler still plays
out of. Yeah.
So Hilton Coliseum is a gym. That's on mass. That's on
mass. I seriously like arena versus gym and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm not.
I'm assuming sure. It's hosting gym.
Yeah, I don't think they get like the terminal. I don't think they have separate lists for terminology as far as gym or arena. As far as teams go,
the Hoosiers, the gym that is Hickory, has been saved, right? Like they were going to tear it down and got saved. I think.
I think so. I don't like digging super deep into some of the trivia, but I was curious because they said it was Butler Fieldhouse, and I was like, I think Butler still plays there. It's just Hinkle.
Where Hickory was at. I thought that gym got saved.
No, I know what you're talking about. I just didn't look into the the other last thing I had, because we brought up the 3-point line. I was curious about the 3-point line in college. The NCAA standardized it in April of 60 or of 86. So basically when this movie came out, there was not a 3-point line standardized, but there were like leagues that had it at different points, at different distances and stuff before then.
So the Hoosiers gym is still there. You were talking about the Butler is the championship game. Is held the Butler gym.
Yeah, it's at Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. That's still there.
The Hoosiers gym is still there. If we're going to tear it down, but then it got kept, I believe. 80 is that, high school basketball.
Is that in the same town that they filmed everything in? Because I know that there is a town that's like Hoosiers was filmed all here, but I didn't know if the gym was also there.
I don't think so, but
it's probably not. But like I said, I don't dig too far into the trivia on a lot of these.
I did say that I think a lot of people think, since I live in a small town in Iowa, that like they think that the town that I live in looks like the Hoosiers fucking town. So
no,
I mean, you know that because you've been there, but
New Richmond, Indiana.
That Hoosierstown is. I looked it up, and they at one point had a population of 333. Is what it said.
309 in 2020 is called New Richmond, Indiana.
Yeah, that's where they filmed all the like street shots and stuff for the movie.
The gym is in Knightstown, Indiana.
That is a smaller town than most people would be able to locate in Iowa.
New Richmond? Yeah. That.
Like, I know a couple towns in Iowa that I could go to that are that size, but they're, like, hard to find. They're not.
I grew up south of a town called Flores that has 186 people. I looked up recently. We ain't got no gym. Not no gym.
Basketball gym, no high school and basketball gym there.
Also, I just real quick, and I know we're in the notebooks. They said there's 64 dudes that could be on the team.
Well, that was
In my head, that means there's at least 120. I guess like a big, like we're doing half and half, right? Like it's a big school.
Yeah, that would have to be at the most generous. That's like middle school and high school for the boys.
Unless it's
that's not insanely small.
Like, I guess if it's all four grades, it'd be 20, 20. No, wait, 15, 15, 15, 15.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's not. Yeah.
The school they play against in the championship has an enrollment of 2,800. That's bigger than most small colleges, right? Like,
yeah.
What schools in Iowa have an enrollment of 2,800 people?
Total? I mean, the metro schools for sure, but.
So
yeah, as far as the actual high schools, yeah. But yeah, even Simpson College enrollment is about right at 2,000. So like that's better than
You also have to make sure you're lining up like total enrollment versus like number of boys in a class or like how many classes are included. But anyway,
once I realized that there was actually four grades, it makes more sense that maybe 64 boys. So that's like 15 each. So that's like a 30 person class. That's pretty fucking small, right?
So, yeah,
yeah. If you're including if you're including all four and maybe even more than that, that's probably fair.
All right, back to emptying the notebooks. I'm done interrupting.
I was done. The Butler Hinklefield house was kind of the last thing that notes that I had.
The only other thing I had was, and I know I kind of brought this up, and I think all of us have kind of brought this up, is like it kind of always gets regarded as one of the you know, best sports movies, at least best basketball movies. And I, for some reason in my head, it was, I guess I always thought there was and I know they try to do a great speech. I think, is it right before the championship game that has, you know, it ends in the slow clap. But the entire
is this the original slow clap? Is this the original one?
Well, no, it's Rudy.
Rudy was after this.
Well,
Rudy's
but,
in the 90s.
Yeah, but Rudy's a true story, so they did it in Rudy 15 years before.
Rudy might be as much of a true story as this one is.
This is the same director directed both movies.
I mean, this one is loosely based off of true stuff, but it's not.
I was very underwhelmed watching that speech because for starters, I thought it was like a regroup, go get them halftime speech and not a pregame speech that ended up being a, hey, we're all winners no matter what.
I remember the all gyms are the same
kind of speech.
Because like,
well, that's
like,
yeah, because
measuring the free throw line, measuring the rim to the floor.
That was when they were doing that. The first thing that popped into my head was the whole thing about Fog Allen Fieldhouse of just another gym sort of thing in my head. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that's just a recurring bit in sports sort of thing. Like, cause that is just what it is. And so like, obviously I didn't think that was the line in the movie, but I was like, oh yeah, I do remember that being, it's, you know, the hoop's 10 feet here, the same as it is in our gym.
I just remember that in Ted Lasso, he's trying to say in that shit. And they're like, no, this one's actually way bigger. He's like, what do you mean this is way bigger? He's like, yeah, all soccer fields are different.
They're different. Yep.
But yeah, it's just that speech. I was, again, the delivery I just didn't feel was that great. And then on top of that, it was a, for a pregame speech to be the, you know, hey, we all tried hard to get here, and just, I'm just, like, it wasn't even an, it was an I'm proud of you speech, but I don't think he ever.
No one's Dale only gets excited when he's beating a player. What can I say?
Right. And that's, I guess over the years, sort of in the long way of what I'm getting to is the same stuff of it. It lays the groundwork of why you get the movies. It's why you get the Remember the Titans speech of I demand perfection. And then it leads to the, you guys have been perfect. I couldn't be more proud. Like, I don't know that you get that without Hoosiers 20 years before, whatever that number is in that stretch.
It lays the groundwork of him being the coach and the replacements.
Yeah.
we're all scared of spiders. Quicksand.
But again, it's overall overarching, just the delivery just always felt flat, just, and just, you know, too scripted. There's not a ton of emotion in it, and that's fine. I get he's playing a hard note, hard-headed, I don't do emotion coach from the 50s.
That being said, it is a really fun, enjoyable movie that, like, just a chill watch. Is that a good way of saying that? Just a chill
watch. Yeah, for sure. And it is a movie that I would happily watch again. I would tell people to watch, even like Jake was saying, like, if you actually watch in some of those montages, like, there is decent basketball being played. Like, people are making shots. It is up close shots in small gyms. Like you were even saying, Ted, it's
gym porn.
There's gym porn for sure. Like, it's,
I want to go visit the gym. It's free will. You just walk in.
Yeah. I mean, I had, when I was in high school, we had two gyms. We had a new gym that got built 5-10 years before I got to high school. And then we had a gym upstairs that was 45 years old, and it was ratty and gross. And it is one of my favorite gyms to this day. And I think they've remodeled it since, and goddamn them for doing it, but I get it. But yeah, it's those creaky old wooden boards, and, you know, an old school gym is crazy, man.
It's the field of dreams of gyms. All right, Jake, you got anything to let's go leave us home with?
No, I don't think so. You did just make me flash back to the old gym in my middle school that's no longer standing, that they tore down and built a new one that I hadn't thought about in a long time, though. Love a good flashback to an old gym.
And I should throw it in, though, those hickory jacket warm-ups are,
oh my God,
absolutely timeless.
I bet Home Field sells those motherfuckers for $80.
Yeah, but you can get them on whatever those Asian sites are for $24.
I don't know if my physical stature would look good in a basketball warm-up. Might be just like a whole bunch of gold.
it's a lot of bright shiny gold. I don't know if it would fit me either, but
so until next time. I have not mentioned I have a going home saying in a while. I feel like I've been dropping the ball, but yeah, I still don't have one, so
yeah, we've been off for a minute. It's okay.
You know, I think I just get wrapped up. I just saw a massive chest hair in this movie. I hope everyone enjoys March Madness when you listen to this before the championship game.
R.I.P. Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman. We're not going to discuss what happened to him. That is some sad shit.
Yeah, that's part of why we did this, between basketball and Gene Hackman.
We could do Crimson Tide sometime. That's a fucking banger.
Crimson Tide, you know, rock.
You know, or Enemy of the State. That'd be a fun one. Anyways. Till next time, guys, we're going to figure out, we'll be back in a few weeks, hopefully. We'll figure out something fun to watch. Maybe a baseball movie we haven't talked about, or just read the old, like, Monday Baseball, because we're lazy assholes.
Watch 3 hours of For Love of the Game again.
I don't know about that.
We could podcast about Major League for the fifth time. All right, man. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, peace out.
See you guys.